This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, we got, you know, the NBA betting scandal that kind of swept the nation not long ago. Well, the first defendant to be sentenced for his role in a sweeping conspiracy involving NBA players like Terry Rozier and Jonte Porter has been sentenced. Timothy McCormick, a self-proclaimed gambling addict, received a 2-year prison sentence Wednesday. A federal judge in Brooklyn handed down the sentence to McCormick, who defrauded sports betting platforms by using non-public information to place highly profitable wagers tied to the performance of NBA players allegedly in on the scheme. McCormack said at his sentencing, "I've struggled with a gambling addiction for more than half my life." So, you want to try to clean this up when you start getting these kind of stories hit, these kind of cases hit? I guess you gotta really nail them. So we'll see if more, when more of this comes down, but this is the first domino to fall. Christian McCaffrey has become only the second player to be a finalist for 3 AP NFL awards in the same year. So he joined Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, Drake May, and Matthew Stafford in the running for the Associated Press 2025 NFL Most Valuable Player Award. McCaffrey and May are also finalists for the Offensive Player of the Year, and McCaffrey and Lawrence are among the finalists for Comeback Player of the Year. Christian McCaffrey will not win MVP, Mike. Who do you got? Is it going to be Matthew Stafford or Drake May?
Probably going to be Drake May.
Really?
I think the story's better.
I think it's going to be Matthew Stafford. Also, on the MVP talk, this happens across leagues, right? They always say playoffs doesn't matter. They don't involve the playoffs. Shouldn't it? Shouldn't we involve the playoffs in... If you're talking most valuable player... Shouldn't the playoffs be a part of that?
Not necessarily. I mean, you could be the most valuable player and have just the worst defense. And
I guess, man, but most of the time it's...
Yeah, most of the time,
most
but
of the time
unfortunately sometimes it happens. I mean, there was a year where the number one offense and the number one defense were the same team and they didn't make the playoffs. Like, how would you feel if you were that guy, if you were Phillip Rivers and you didn't make the playoffs? You could have been MVP that year.
I just think it should be part of it. I think they should add that into it. So if you're already a part, if you're already in the playoff, the MVP discussion, and then maybe some of those other guys are not in deep in that discussion, but they don't make the playoffs, and then another guy goes to the playoffs and he's down the list, but shows up and is awesome. I mean, that's the most critical time of the year is the playoffs.
Well, don't they have playoff MVP? They should.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry. I don't agree with that because it's not.
I do.
An equal
I agree with it more now that you
size.
Disagree with it. I think you should absolutely involve the playoffs.
Elitist.
In this conversation. Yes. I'm sorry that I like greatness. I'm sorry that I'm not like you. That's like everyone. You're okay. I'm okay. And everyone's okay with being okay. Yeah, that's great for you, man. But I expect excellence. I know
I like how we've kind of switched here.
Everybody gets in the Hall of Fame, according to you. Everybody's on the Ring of Fame for Denver, according to you. Just throw them all up there. Everybody gets a participation ribbon. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, and according to you, those lesser schools can't make it into the playoff, college football playoff.
That's different.
Elitist.
That's different. That's way different, and you know it is.
They don't belong.
Yeah, they absolutely do belong.
Absolutely not.
You probably said Indiana didn't belong. You probably were like that all year.
No, I think Indiana did belong. They earned it.
Well, you got to win your conference. Win your conference, and then you win again.
So Ohio State didn't deserve to go?
Yeah.
Miami didn't deserve to go?
At large. Miami got at large. So that's what I like. And I think, I don't know what we're going to end up doing with that. The SEC and the Big Ten still at a crossroads as far as what they want the playoffs to be.
Well, I did get a big, I did start working on a big step of my plan. It's
Give me the
really
first
difficult.
Step of it. What's the first step? I mean, why is it so difficult?
The first step is changing all the conferences because I have to fix that.
They're not going to do
that.
Be realistic.
Big Ten and SEC.
Why aren't you realistic, though? They're not going to change the conferences right now.
I'm going to fix it.
They just went through all that. They're going to do it again.
I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it happen.
First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So your first step is to tear it all down and change conference alignment.
Yes, but I'm going to do the best that I can to keep important, so you don't have the USC's and UCLA's. Like, you want to keep that rivalry going. You want the Washington, Oregon's. You want Wisconsin and Minnesota. You want those rivals going, so you have to take that into account. And I don't know all of those. So, obviously, there would have to be some renegotiation, and you are going to have those weeks where you say, if you are a team that has two main rivals, you can play those rivals even if they're not in your conference.
Do you think the Big Ten and SEC are actually going to get away from, like, we're just going to play guys within our conference? We're not even going to mess with any of those non-conference games anymore.
Nothing would surprise me. Like, I would have been surprised by all this 5 years ago. Now, I don't know. If they decide we're going to play on the moon in 20 years when Elon Musk builds a station there, then it wouldn't be surprising.
How difficult do you think it's going to be if college football ultimately, or not just college football, but maybe football and men's basketball ultimately get to, hey, we're going to do contracts, and maybe we're going to get away from, you get to choose between a scholarship and a contract. So you might not even go to school.
I'm cool with that.
How does that affect, though, the lesser conference teams from Pac-12 on down?
They get the smart people.
So they're still going to deal with scholarships and not. But then they would still get NIL stuff. Or maybe you don't. I don't know. I'll be really curious to see how this one unfolds.
That was actually one thing that I was thinking was you could either do scholarships or you could do money. Because a lot of these programs aren't able to do money. So give them scholarships. And if you're someone who doesn't want to go to school, you don't have to go to school. It's just not for everybody. I didn't want to spend 4 years in college. I went to Ames. I did 2 years and I said, bye.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine most of these guys, especially the ones that are jumping in the portal. I mean, you look at, like, Carson Beck was asked, hey, what's your favorite class? He's like, brother, I haven't been to, her sister, I think it was a girl that asked him, I haven't been to class in 2 years. And that's always been happening. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are whatever you call it, grad students or whatever. I don't understand that. But you've already taken all your classes, you've already done everything, and now you're still at school, and maybe you can take a couple of classes online, which I guess is the norm now.
Yeah, I mean, everybody. Online wasn't a thing. Well, I had one online class, and it blew me away. Like, I could take a class online.
Oh, it was awesome.
Now there are a bunch of classes that are online. You can take your math class online.
I took a ton of classes when I went back to UNC. I took a ton of classes online. That was great for my schedule. Still had to go to some, and that was odd. But that was awesome.
I mean, going to school in your pajamas, like, that's not that difficult.
Oh, they go to school in their pajamas anyway. 20-year-olds, whatever, they're going in their sweatpants. That was not the case for me. I would go after work over to a lab or something, which was just awful. You know, you'd be dressed up in work stuff, go over there, and all these kids are like, it was odd. I'll tell you, going back to
school.
You
narc.
going back to school when you're 29 or whatever I was not something I ever planned to do, but my wife looked at my, we were looking at my transcripts one day, and she's like, you only need 30 credits to actually get your bachelor's.
So she peer pressured you into it?
No, because we were talking about having a kid at that point, and then we were like, you know, if you don't do it now, are you ever going to do it? No.
Why do you need it?
I don't know. I'm glad I did it. I think it was cool. I do actually recommend, like, some people think that's just the next step right out of high school. Just jump right into college. You take it a little more seriously when you're more of an adult. And it's kind of like, I'm not going to waste my time, my nights, or whatever, if I'm not going to do this. And, yeah, I decided to do it, and I went at it. And I actually enjoyed it. Don't know that I retained much of the information because you're cramming everything, but it's still a racket, man. Still a racket. I'm taking classes like history of rock and roll and, you know, random stuff like that. Art history. Like, yeah, to just pick stuff to do because I'd already done a bunch of other stuff.
I don't want to do any of that.
No, I didn't.
If I want to learn art history, I'll go to the internet and Google search.
I'll admit that was a tough one. That was a tough class. Because you had to memorize certain artists and their paintings and what they meant and what they represented and why it was important at the time. That was weird. It's very strange. You'll like this, though. You always call me an elitist. I call you an elitist, but you call me elitist sometimes.
Each other elitist.
I took a music, like a some kind of music. What the heck was it? Like world music. And we had to write an essay at the end of the class. And everyone was like how they love how music is intermingling and how someday we're not even going to have, it's not going to be labeled as country or rock. It's going to be all mixed together. And I wrote a scathing essay on why I think that's awful, terrible. And the professor actually wrote back and said, wow, this is a different take than I've heard from anybody that's taken this class in recent years.
Right on.
Yeah, I aced it. It was a well thought out article
You're probably more right than everybody else. Yeah, music has been intermingling, and music does evolve.
I don't like it.
To be said about record companies just want the same crap over and over again. So it's up to like the independent artist themselves.
I've noticed like in rock music, they go for the commercial stuff now, and that
pop music
and
too.
That bothers me because it's like, okay, we're not gonna make it big. If we just keep producing the same, you know, woe is me and darkness. So we're going to have to do some love poppy stuff, some love songs.
And Nickelback.
That bothers me. Yeah. Or like country's not even really country anymore. It's more poppy than anything. Yeah, so I kind of went at it on that.
Yeah, there's no way Lindsey Stirling would ever have been signed to like a real label.
What is a Lindsey
having,
Stirling for the audience, you know, that has no idea what you're talking about? What is a Lindsey Stirling?
She's a dancing violinist.
Mm-hmm. Just you can't just assume everybody knows who you're talking about.
There are like five people who know who I'm talking about.
Right. She's a violinist and she dances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's an incredible violinist.
Okay. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Also, former Michigan football coach Sharon Moore returned to court today for the first time since being charged with vengeful acts against a woman shortly after he was fired for having a relationship with her. Boy, that was a story that kind of just went away for a bit, didn't it? I mean, it was hot and heavy when this happened, and then I think people just kind of forgot about it. You got Kyle Whittingham as the coach, and you're trying to turn everything around. Michigan turn around the perception because they've been through it the last few years. They've been through it with this story and then the stealing signs story, the weird vacuum cleaner repair shop in Wyoming. Faith says, have to say I do love Lindsey Stirling. Sorry, Brady. No, I actually know who Lindsey Stirling is. My wife is a big fan. She went and saw her at the Blue Arena there a couple years ago.
I did at Red Rocks.
Yeah, I know that.
She had everybody in tears.
Were you the only dude there? Or?
No, there are a lot of dudes there.
Okay, with their wives or something?
Some of them wives, some of them just like
girlfriends.
Random dudes. Like, it was a very diverse audience.
But you chose to just go by yourself, like, because that's you.
No, I went with a friend.
Oh, you went with a friend.
I have a friend.
What happened to that friend? Still friends?
He died.
Oh,
thank you for bringing that up, Brady.
Are you serious? That I'm sorry.
Thank you for bringing that up.
I know he didn't die because I know who you went with. So yeah, you can't get me on that one. The Hooligans just like gasped. Oh, Brady, you stepped in it. No,
got
I know.
Got you guys. April Fool's Day.
I am unable
early.
To get got. I'll tell you that. I'm unable to get got because I know more things than you could ever imagine. You could ever think to know. But I don't know who's winning on Sunday. I don't know if the Broncos are winning on Sunday. Mike, convince me. Come on.
The Broncos and the Seahawks are both going to win. It's going to be a rematch of Super Bowl 48.
Ooh. Hopefully it doesn't go down that way, the way that one went.
I would like to see it go down the opposite, where the Seahawks just get absolutely destroyed by the Broncos.
Who is your – hey, let me ask you this question. Who's your favorite backup quarterback in Broncos history?
That's a good question.
Yeah, one that sticks out? I mean, let's face it, the last 10 years, there's been a lot of backups that are starters turn backup, backup turn starter.
I mean, for a while, it was Brock Osweiler. Then we found out he was kind of a baby. Then he grew up, and he wasn't exactly who we thought
Tebow, I'm really fond of Jarrett. Wouldn't Tim Tebow be one of the best backup quarterbacks?
He was not my favorite. Circus really soured me on Tim Tebow.
But he was one of the best, one of the most popular, I suppose.
Yeah, but the circus really soured me on Tim Tebow.
Where does Bubby Brister rank? Where does Gary Kubiak rank?
I actually liked both of them. I remember Bubby Brister playing very well. I like Kubiak more for his coaching prowess.
Mm-hmm. Bubby was
one
of my
favorites.
I like
Bill Musgrave.
Bubby,
not a lot of people remember Bill Musgrave. Wait, I don't know if he ever played.
Why was he your favorite then?
I don't know. I just remember him a little bit.
When was that? What year? Do you remember?
I think that was right before Greasy.
Really?
I'm going to look it up.
Greasy was a backup. Wasn't he on their final Super Bowl? Or their John Elway's last Super Bowl? He was the backup quarterback? Or he was the third string quarterback, wasn't he? Because Bubby was the backup quarterback that year, wasn't he?
That
it was
is
Bubby
correct.
And then Brian Greasy and then... And then there was a quarterback battle between Bubby Brister and Brian Greasy. Am I remembering that right?
Okay, so Bill Musgrave was with the Broncos from 95 to 96.
Yeah, I didn't think it was around the Greasy time.
So it was a year. Jeff Lewis, that's right. Jeff Lewis was there.
Remember Jeff Lewis?
He was there for like a year.
Who's some of the obscure backup quarterbacks? Remember Brady Quinn, backup
quarterback? I did like Brady Quinn.
I know you remember him, but yeah, he was actually a Bronco.
He was much better as a color analyst. Very talented there.
Gus Frerotte,
yeah.
That was I liked Gus Frerotte. Didn't he have to take over for Greasy when he got hurt?
Yeah, he did. He got hurt in a 49ers game I went to.
Greasy's best season was the year he actually messed up his shoulder, wasn't it? And then they went to the playoffs?
Didn't play in that playoff game.
That was a lost playoff year, I think, in Mike Shanahan's resume. Because we all know what he did with John Elway. We all know what he did with Jake Plummer. There was that one forgotten year where Greasy was actually pretty good, and the Broncos made it to the playoffs.
And then they ran into one of the best defenses of all time and lost like 21-3.
Who was that? Was that?
That was the Ravens.
The Ravens, yeah. Yeah, Gus Frerotte, though. He was a big one. Danny Cannell. Steve Berline. Remember him?
Didn't Berline hurt his finger?
No. Was it Berline or was it Cannell?
I think it was Berline who hurt his finger, and he was like lifting up his finger on TV, and everybody was like, oh, God, his finger.
It could have been him. It was either him or Danny Cannell. For some reason, Danny Cannell's name comes up. You know, Google that. Effort that, Mike. We had a Jackson backup quarterback. Who was that guy? Because I would always start him in Madden because he could run. That was back in the day. Kyle Orton, I guess, was kind of a backup.
Oh, you're talking about Jarius Jackson?
Jarius Jackson, yeah. I liked him.
Yeah, he came from Notre Dame as well.
Yeah, kind of liked him.
I think he was a seventh rounder.
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, it was Steve Berline who dislocated his finger.
It was Steve Berline? Okay. Yeah. Some good, some fun guys to talk about. Some interesting ones, anyway. Jay Cutler was technically a backup quarterback in his rookie year to Jake Plummer. Tim Tebow, certainly in that mix. Who else? Oh, Brock Osweiler. Well, how can we forget Brock Osweiler?
I mentioned him earlier.
Well, yeah, but you know, you just say things. Brock Osweiler might be... Would you agree that Brock Osweiler is the greatest backup quarterback the Broncos have ever had?
I believe so.
Yeah. I mean, without him, you don't make it. I mean, he kept that team enough wins to put to the point where the Chargers game, the final game of that season, meant if you win, you clinch the number one seed, you get the home field advantage throughout. Now, Brock was benched at halftime of that game. And then Peyton Manning took over, and that was the only game Peyton Manning dressed out for and was a backup quarterback, Mike. So I think Brock Osweiler, they were willing to go Brock. If Brock would have torn it up in that first half, we who knows what would have happened. And that was a whole weird situation, too. It was supposed to be Brock Osweiler handed the keys after Peyton Manning, but Elway was too slow on the trigger, took forever to call, and Brock Osweiler tells the story of his agent basically said, here's the date. If he does not call you, if the Broncos do not call you by this date, you're done. We're moving on. And Elway did not call by that date. He called after that date, and Brock wanted to pick up the phone, but he went with his agent. He ended up getting paid. He got paid a lot to go to Houston.
I'm embarrassed to say I couldn't remember his name, so I had to Google search it, but Hugh Millen.
Oh, yeah, Hugh. Our friend Hugh. Yeah, how could we forget about Hugh?
I didn't. I just couldn't remember his name.
But no, it's Brock. Jarrett Stidham has a chance to surpass that, though.
Jarrett has a chance. If he wins these two games, even if he's not very good, he's going to get credit for it. But I think you're right. Brock's probably the best backup.
Well, because of what it meant, what his play meant for the Broncos that season.
And it's not like he played terribly. He did have some games where he played well, where he played all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had some really good games. But it's kind of just funny that this is where we are. We're talking about backup quarterbacks and where Jarrett Stidham can make a little Broncos history here if he can do it. How about this one, Mike? If the Broncos win on Sunday, even if they lose in the Super Bowl, is that it for Sean Payton? Hall of Fame? He's punched his he's stamped it. He's in.
I believe so. I mean, like he's on the verge. I agree with you that, and I've started agreeing with you more.
You're welcome.
That if you don't know right off the bat, then they're not a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Like with Terrell Davis. I have solid arguments both ways.
I do too, yeah.
So even though it's blasphemous, I would not have put him in the Hall of Fame.
I changed my tune.
I have some good arguments against putting him in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I know your arguments. One, he didn't play long enough. Two, he was on an all-time great roster.
Well, two, it would be the Mike Shanahan situation. System, not situation.
System, yeah. Well, yeah, because of what Mike Anderson and Orlando Scary and Ruben Drones and a few other those other guys went on to do. Peyton Hillis.
Yeah, the arguments for would be, okay, look at that, and then look what Terrell Davis. He was a couple steps above those guys, plus
well,
he could catch out of the
and
back.
And you could argue that Terrell Davis was the main reason Denver finally got their Super Bowls. I mean,
yeah,
I don't even know if you can argue that without TD, man. I mean, remember his migraine story in the Packers game? They had to fake it to him, and he couldn't see. And he's like, I told Mike I couldn't see, and he's like, don't worry, you're not getting the ball in this play, but if you're not in, they're not going to believe that we're running the ball. So they had to throw him in. He was that great of a player. So I've actually changed my tune on that one. I think TD's a Hall of Famer. I get all the things you're saying, but man, I just don't know if there's two Super Bowls without TD.
And I agree with you. If you put Orlandis Gary in that's...
I mean, he still probably runs for 1,400 yards, 1,200 yards maybe.
None of those guys. The closest guy to get 2,000 yards, and he might have, was Clinton Portis. But we were kind of the run game in the NFL was tapering off. We were starting to go more pass at that time. So Clinton Portis under the Mike Shanahan.
Oh, yeah, Clinton Portis. Yeah.
He would not have been as good if Terrell Davis had had his full career.
Portis was pretty good with Washington, though.
Like, he was, but he was so banged up.
But there's a lot of those running backs that left Denver's system and you never heard their name again.
Yeah, Clinton Portis was the exception.
I mean, you never heard Mike Anderson's name after the Broncos. You never heard much from Ruben Drones. We know the Peyton Hillis story. He had the monster year with Cleveland, but that was it.
Now he's a hero.
Yes, now he's a hero. But you just look at those guys. And again, TD was always in the Broncos system. But Portis was the one where I would say that guy was borderline Hall of Fame, and I loved Clinton Portis, but
he just wasn't quite good enough.
He wasn't quite there to be Hall of Fame. And then he had a bunch of other weird stuff happen.
He did have some great press conferences, though.
Oh, yeah, he always dressed up. Remember he had the championship belt when he had 5 touchdowns in one game? Or was it 4 touchdowns in one game? I don't know. But
that was against the Chiefs.
Yeah. And he had the WCW belt, the world championship belt. And I think Sharp was still on that team, wasn't he? Right around that
time?
He
might have been. That was
Leighton
Sharp's career.
Look at us going Broncos history here.
It's weird. Like, I can remember names from back in the day, but, like, now I can't take in anything new.
Like, the last 10 years after Manning, the quarterback carousel is very complicated in my brain. Can you actually go through that? After Manning, who was the starting quarterback? First
one. You can only
one.
Do it with the Benny Hill theme.
So it was Trevor Siemian, right? Trevor Siemian. You had Paxton Lynch, right? Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch.
Pirate.
In that mode. Who else, man? Like, where did we go after? Wow. See, it gets complicated. Where did we go after Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch? Was that back to Brock
Osweiler?
It's
like one of those family trees where, like, you have a dad here and a dad here and a dad there.
That's a good trivia for people. Looking at in that 10-year span, where did we go? So 2000, let's see. So after Manning, it was the Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch years. And then the next year was still Trevor Siemian. Paxton Lynch was there, but then they brought Brock Osweiler back. 2018. Who's the guy we got from Minnesota? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case. Case Keenum. So there's Case Keenum.
He had a bad case of the quarterbacks.
After Case.
What's his name from Baltimore?
Joe Flacco. And then they drafted Drew Locke, right? So it was Joe Flacco.
He was not Locke.
Drew Locke and then Allen. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't
he come from Buffalo?
He was in that mix.
Or the Rams.
After Flacco, it was Drew Locke was given the reins, remember? Because he finished the season really strong. And then it was Drew Locke.
My head hurts.
They had a bunch of quarterbacks that year, though, because that was the 2020 year when he started. Because then he contaminated people because they didn't wear their masks. It was Driscoll.
Right.
It was the Boise State guy. Come on, his uncle played. Brett Rippon. 2021 was Bridgewater and Drew Locke.
Bridges of Denver County.
Of Madison County. 22 was Russell Wilson. 23 was Russell Wilson. And then Stidham at the end. And now Bo Nix. And now Jared Stidham again. See, that is a... Look how clean it was. It was Elway all the way. And then after Elway...
Because he was the way.
It was Brian Greasy. And then Jake Plummer. Jay Cutler. Kyle Orton. Tim Tebow. Peyton Manning. Then after that's when it got really complicated. 34 minutes after the hour, there's a little Broncos weird history for you. It's the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
The Broncos are in the playoffs, and we have the games and talk you need. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado, Big City Roadhouse. Man, I'm telling you guys, you got to get down there if you haven't yet. I know a lot of our listeners are doing it. They have the TVs everywhere inside Big City Roadhouse. They added a bunch of new ones to the mix, too. They kind of cleared out that area in the bar, and now it's like set up with tables and stuff. If you've been to the old Cables, you loved Cables, but I'm telling you, now's the time to try Big City Roadhouse, and they have amazing deals going on for the Super Bowl. $3 domestic pints, $4 micro pints all day. But when you get in there, when you walk in Big City Roadhouse on Super Bowl Sunday, they're going to give you a ticket. And if throughout the first half your ticket is called, you're going to be given a remote control. And if at halftime that remote control is the one that turns on a 55-inch 4K Ultra TV, smart TV, then you get the TV. That's it. You're the one. You press the power button, boom, it turns on. You get the TV. So just by going into Big City Roadhouse on Super Bowl Sunday, you're going to be entered to win a 55-inch smart television at Big City Roadhouse. Their food is amazing. I'm going to be going on a journey here very soon where I try everything on the menu, not at once like Michael would do, but just over time where I'm going to review it. We're going to go through it. I'm going to give you everything on the menu. I'm going to know that thing backwards and front. So I'm looking forward to that. But Big City Roadhouse, Big City Flavor Roadhouse Comfort, make them your Super Bowl headquarters. 12:41 the time, Michael. We'll take a short break. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we got buy or sell. And then Kevin Lytle will join me from the Colorado, and we'll talk some Colorado State basketball. They're back in action tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, playing host to Utah State. They needed the win against Air Force. They're getting guys back. How big of a task will that be going up against a very good basketball team in Utah State? 12:42 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Is there any concern that... Now, Bo Nix's ankle surgery went well, according to the Denver Post. And, Sean Payton, Denver Post quoting Sean Payton. Nix had the surgery in Birmingham, Alabama. That was also where he had an ankle procedure done when he was in college, Michael. So that's a lot of people wondering, why did he go to Birmingham? That's who he worked with when he was in college during his Auburn days. Peyton Manning was talking about just how, hey, we wish we could have him here. Wish he could be a part of the team. He also said, like, I don't know how soon that will be. Is there a concern at all, Mike, that, and I haven't seen anything like this, that he wouldn't be ready to go by the regular season, you know, as we get into September or even the preseason in August?
I'd find that a little disconcerting, yeah.
I mean, it sounds like everything went well. Sean said all of our guys that are that have been injured are a part of this team, so yeah, the sooner the better to get him around. He said he would love to have him back around the team, but he didn't know exactly when that would be.
So we don't know if it's OTAs or anything?
Mm-mm. No, I think he's even talking about the like immediate future, just getting him around the team. But I haven't really heard much about that as far as timelines, and I'm guessing Sean's not going to go into that. Bo Nix did write a post on Instagram. The last few days have been hard to put into words. What started as one of the most exciting games I've ever been a part of ended with some of the most devastating football news I've ever received. This is not how I imagined my season would come to an end, but our season has been defined by overcoming adversity and responding to it. I can't express how much this team and organization mean to me and how much I believe in them. I couldn't be more proud of our guys. I couldn't be more confident in backup quarterback. He didn't say backup. He just said Jarrett Stidham. And I couldn't be more excited for what's next. I don't know if you heard Jarrett Stidham's comments yesterday. They asked him, like, what it meant for him and how he can really, you know, take the bull by the horns and etch his name in some football history, Broncos history. And, you know, all he did was pointed right back to Bo. And he said Bo's one of his best friends. He's been praying for him. He hopes that he's going to be okay through all this. He did not answer the question. So, again, I scoff at the whole idea that Jarrett Stidham was any kind of a locker room cancer when he's given the limelight right there. He's given center stage to talk about what this means to him. And he made it about Bo Nix. He made it about the Broncos. He made it about the fans. And I think this is the best case scenario you could hope for, is a quarterback with the mindset that Jarrett Stidham has and not making, you know, you hear a lot of guys when they become a starting quarterback in this league and it's, hey, I know I can be a starter in this league. I know I can be great. And Stidham read the room and understood that's not the time to do it. And he's going to point back to how much Bo means to not only him, but to the franchise and what he has to do. He doesn't really even talk about it. You know, I kind of went into it, but hopefully that's the right guy. Hopefully that's the right guy at the helm for you. 12:49 the time. We'll see. Getting dangerously close to Pixar on Friday. Everyone knows that. And we'll find out where exactly my brain is going tomorrow afternoon. Stick with us. The whole show continues. Kevin Lytle will join us from the Colorado one. We'll talk Colorado State. Buy or sell right around the corner as well. We'll be right back.
A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Do you think the Broncos, and they're going to want to probably force the issue that J.K. Dobbins plays this weekend, Mike? But Sean Keeler told us yesterday in the Denver Post, like, that's not really, it's going to be on J.K. Dobbins and his camp. Because don't forget, Dobbins will be a free agent after this season, Mike. And if he goes into the game Sunday and he looks rough or re-injures himself or injures something new because you're favoring your current injury that you're recovering from, that's going to significantly, plus he has a very rich history of injury, that's going to significantly impact his chances of getting on a team next year. Certainly as a starter, so not getting starting running back type numbers or money. It's not as easy as just he's cleared by team doctors and the Broncos want him to play. And I don't know that I wouldn't consider it like a selfish move on his part if he doesn't play Sunday, because there's a lot at stake for him. Now, he seems to be a team player. I would assume Denver brings him back next year. Because remember, everything frees up now. Things are going to get easier for Denver to sign guys because all that Russell Wilson money goes bye-bye. So they can take a few even more flyers on guys that may or may not be able to produce for an entire season. But you better believe if he gets in that game and he gets hurt and knocked out of the game, Mike, and then that ends for him, that's going to severely impact Denver's interest in him, which would kind of suck. But it's a business. And it would impact a lot of other teams' interest in J.K. going forward. It'd be awesome if he could play. It'd be awesome if he could do what he was doing. Wasn't he the best offensive player for the Broncos before he went down? He was the best weapon for this team, even over Bo Nix.
Yeah, I'd say with the way the passing game was going, it would have to be him.
Yeah.
Because pass game was inconsistent.
It was inconsistent, and he was a constant, even though Sean Payton really struggled to want to consistently run the ball.
Or to remember that he existed.
Yeah, that's true. And who knows if that changes, if he actually does play on Sunday. All right, buy or sell coming up. Lytle will join us in the final hour of the show. Stick with us here on The Whole Show.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.